And in this fashion, it will belong to them during the actual sale to achieve this goal. Now, I want to tell you a secret. Even in a normal sale of a house, of a field, we don't find a Shulchan Aruch that you require that it belong to the seller. The source, in fact, wonders why not. The Gemara seems to say yes. Not only halacha when it comes to Gittin. So halacha on the contrary is derived from Shtari Mamad. How come, in fact, it doesn't say when it comes to other sales? The source says it doesn't say any of the poskim. Nobody mentions it. Nobody says this did. Sale to achieve this goal. Now, I want to tell you a secret. Even in a normal sale of a house, of a field, we don't find a Shulchan Aruch that you require that it belong to the seller. The source, in fact, wonders why not. The Gemara seems to say yes. Not only halacha when it comes to Gittin. So halacha on the contrary is derived from Shtari Mamad. How come, in fact, it doesn't say when it comes to other sales? The source says it doesn't say any of the poskim. Nobody mentions it. Nobody says this did. So there could be the Meiri there in Gittin Avkov says it's a non-sadek. We know that he wants to sell it to him, or it's a hefker bez and hefker. The rabbi has made it belong to him. It's enough if it belongs to the rav, to the shliach, enough to belong to each and every one of them. Some say it works what we call it Eved Kanani. What does Eved Kanani mean? What does Eved Kanani? You know what Eved Kanani is? Non-Jewish slave who becomes somewhat Jewish. If he wants to go free, how does he get out? The Mishnah Kiddushin. The Kesef Ayadei Acherim. Someone has to give the money for him. He doesn't have any money. Someone gives the money for him. So it's here too. One could argue that someone has to give the document for the sellers. And if the rabbi gives it on behalf of the sellers, this itself is effective. There's no need for it to actually belong to the sellers of Dinei Mamonos. I can give it on their behalf. I by get? No. Get is not a din of kinyan. Get is a din of a nesina. It just has to be given. So if it's just a matter of giving, it has to actually belong to the husband. But if it's a monetary discussion, then the evidence not able to suffice. So there are many, many reasons why we don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do it. I try to put a lot of chumras in. I don't do this one. Of having the make the formal statement, hereby selling the piece of paper to all the those who are selling the chumash through me. I could do it, but just I think it's so many stud in Lahokil, and I don't make any more waves than already exist in this complicated procedure. I don't think we have to be chushish for that. It's not found even in regular sales. Kavachami here for the reasons that you mentioned earlier. Chassam Sof had a very interesting way of selling chametz. He wrote the shtar in German, and he even wrote two copies of the shtar. He gave one copy to the goy, and one copy kept for himself. Both the Jew and the goy signed on both copies. That's what the Chassam Sof did. We don't do that. I never saw anybody to do that. What I do is I do use English. I tell you, I failed to pay out the Hebrew. And the reason I have the English, I want the guy to sign on it. And the reason I want the guy to sign on it is just to strengthen what we call his Das Kona. To go back to the beginning, the guy should know what he's doing. I can expect the guy to sign a Hebrew document. It's crazy. If I have the document in English and we read through the whole document together on the spot, and he reads every single line, then there's a greater chance that he really has intention to go through with the sale. That's what I do. Why the Chassam Sof insists on having two copies? So the answer is that the piece of paper has certain, how should we put it, obligations on both sides. That the seller obligates such and such, and the buyer obligates such and such. For example, if you recall the document we showed, it said risk of loss is borne by the buyer. Now the one who should have that document in his hand to prove that should be whom? The seller. So that the seller has it. I mean, generally speaking, if I want to obligate myself to you, you hold the document. And you to me, then I hold the document. So the main point is the sale. Then the document should go to the buyer, which is the goy. That's how we do it. The other point, the obligations which are assumed by the buyer, that should really be held by the seller. So that's how the Chassam Sof apparently did it. We don't do it, and we suggest that a sneaky reason, maybe one of the reasons that we don't do it is because as the Mishnah Berurah suggests in a different context, in case there should in fact be a loss, and Mr. Brown is maybe worried that maybe he's going to be in trouble, if he has the only copy of the document, we don't have any copy to prove anything, it'd be hard for us to win a court case against him. And therefore, he can feel more secure in going through the sale as is, if he knows that if push would ever come to shove, Khalilah, fire or something like that, then, as far as the insurance and all other things which would take care of the problem, he might be able to slither his way out, perhaps. So that's perhaps the reason why we don't do two documents nowadays. Okay? So those are some of the halachas concerning the actual document of sale. The shtar mechiras chametz. Again, it's not on the chametz proper. It's primarily on the sale and on the rental. But there are nevertheless certain laws and rules and regulations. Whether the people who are renting have to sign on it is the question. What does it have to own it is a question. What happens if you don't have the shtar at all is a question. And the idea of having two documents in this foreign language and give one to the Jew, one to the guy, is also a question. These are all questions pertaining to the shtar of mechiras chametz, which works, again, I say primarily for the rental, but could conceivably work for the chametz as well, to be the minig asochim or dina d'machusa, as the case may be. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Every last paper, I won't do anything. Don't give me the paper. I'm not going to give him the. I'm not going to make the deal. Comes back with a ton of papers on the spot. Gives back the papers. Sure. Okay. Now, Rabbi Osai, I want to go into a few other details of the mechiras chametz. Is there a requirement to spell out the types of chametz that are being sold? So I always tell you, lechatchila, it should be done. You should write down, you're selling whiskey, you're selling groceries, you're selling cosmetics, whatever you happen to be selling. Why? First of all, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it says whenever you sell something, you should write down what you're selling. You should know what's being sold. True, in our context, there are poskim who are makil and say that even if you didn't specify, the sale would be valid anyway. Why? You write down, I'm selling all chametz. So whatever is labeled as chametz is automatically subsumed under the sale. Nevertheless, to make it, to give it more teeth, to give it more mamashes, to make it more real, I think it's advisable that we in fact do write the particular types of chametz in the document, and furthermore, that we should give an approximate value. I think that's something which is a worthwhile thing and should be done. Aleph. Beis. Another problem. We already pointed out from the beginning of the year already that we try to burn our own chametz. That's why, if you recall, the Ramah says that the burning in the morning has to come before what? No. Before what? The bittul, the second bittul, which has become common custom, based on the Shulchan Aruch. Should happen after the burning. If you do bittul first, and the bittul of the morning has an extra phrase. Remember that? Kol chavira yadate v'lo yadate. Whether I know about it or don't know about it. So the chametz is right in front of you. You're about to burn. It's also going to be included in the bittul. But upon your burn, it's not your chametz anymore. That's not so great. Okay? Now, problem. We do mechira's chametz before the burning. That's the order which we have. Mechira. Then we burn it, so we can burn the last kazayas, the chatchila, we have to do that, some say even the yevet. And then we do bitl on the remainder. Gewalt! But I just got through selling the chametz. I got through selling this now, to John Brown. So how do I keep that bag out of the sale? What do we do about it? Different customs. Some write in the document, with the exception of the crumbs and the other papers that are going to be burned subsequently. Don't like that, because you're playing with the document. The document should be sacrosanct. Let that. It's most important thing. The document should be should be. Yeah, no. Don't make any changes or any exceptions in the document itself. Others have a shtick. Some sefer quoted that he would sell his chametz to somebody else just before the mechira, so that when he did a mechira, they belong to someone else. But someone else, of course, is not doing a mechira. In America, everyone does a mechira, so this trick is not going to work so well either. You don't sell to someone who didn't do the mechira, and they'll sell it back to you who did the mechira. You have to go back and forth, but that's not so simple. So what I do is, to make an oral understanding. I say, John, whatever is in these bags here that we're keeping out of the sale, that we're going to burn in a few minutes, it's not included in the sale. And I maintain that I think that if it would come to either a bezin or a court of law, that I would win. The document declares the reverse. You may recall that John Brown, and we saw in another form, says, this covenant overcomes all other covenants and all other arrangements and all other deals which are relevant to this. And our document does not say that. So the fact that it doesn't say that, Mr. Brown, Torah, Omadav B'Shem Omra, maybe Gula Lola. Mr. Brown made the horror that this document doesn't say that. Some other document we said that, the one with the factories, we'll get to that in a minute, the companies. But this one doesn't say that, so therefore that I think the oral agreement is the best way around this problem. That's how we try to do it in that fashion. Speaking about stores, it's a big problem in America. There are many stores that are owned by Jews who even have some measure of traditional Passover memories, you know, they remember the Seder, they remember. But unfortunately, their business compels them, so they say, to remain open on Pesach. But on Shabbos, a bigger problem probably. But if they open on Pesach, and they sell chametz straight through Pesach. So if they sell the chametz of John Brown and Erev Pesach, and they sell chametz to John Doe and John Smith and John O'Connell and every other kind of John who walks in to the store on Pesach, so what does this indicate about their original sale to John Brown? So most posts say it indicates that the original sale was Dvorim B'Talim. They didn't mean to sell it to Brown. If they sell it to Brown, how can they be open for business and sell it to Smith and Jones, etc., etc.? Rav Moshe is a Das Yochid. Rav Moshe says, Zichron Levracha, and he goes, Moshe, what do you mean? The sale to John Brown is a sale. And then when the guy is going to sell it to all the customers on Pesach, he's a thief. He's stealing from John Brown. But most possibly say, what do you mean he's a thief? It's obvious from the beginning he's going to be open on Pesach. There's a big sign open, but as we're selling it, there's a sign open every day, open Passover. So I mean, come on, from the beginning it's clear he didn't really mean it. And therefore we have to assume that sale is very, very questionable, to say the least. To boot, it won't help to allow you to buy there, because any chametz she bought on Pesach, would in fact be chametz shavu lavav pesach. It's not included in the sale at all. So Rav Moshe himself wasn't matter. The only way to really do it, that should be on the up and up at least a little bit, is not to sell the chametz to John Brown plain. You do that, I mean, you sell it to another guy without his permission, so you're a thief, and therefore the whole thing is meaningless. Nor, to my mind, is it the right thing to sell the whole company to John Brown. Because as we know in America, selling companies with stock transfers, with this is very complex. Our financial experts can tell us, not so easy to transfer corporate ownership. Not so push. So I recommend, and if it has to be done, it really wasn't my idea. It was I think Rabbi Rosenblatt is the one who thought of this idea, Omadav B'Shem Amram. He convinced one of these Jewish fellas who was a Holocaust survivor, and he was so angry at us that we weren't really so happy about his deal he was making. He was open on Pesach. He convinced him, unbelievable, he convinced him to sell the chametz to John Brown, whatever inventory he had. And he convinced John Brown to make him an agent to sell the chametz on his behalf. So that is, when he sold the chametz on Pesach, so he wasn't a thief. On the contrary, he was a duly designated and appointed agent of John J. Brown in doing so. Moreover, he convinced this person not to accept any delivery of any chametz on Pesach, with one exception. Bread. Slight exception. The bread, because the company needs it fresh every day, never, so yeah, bread he had to accept. But the reason for this is that bread, you wait a day after Pesach, it's already gone, because it has to be sold fresh. So just tell you, don't buy bread in Yisruchak, and then by the day following day, already anything which he owned on Pesach is cleaned out. So this way, all the other chametzic products could be assumed to have been owned by the guy from before Pesach. And therefore he says he did a great service, the rabbi did for the community. So, I can't say I love it. I mean, it's obviously the guy's Machal Shabbos, and there's a Machal Pesach, and he eats bread on Pesach, and he But at least as far as the community itself, can they buy in the store after Pesach, you can make a case for it. Yes?
I understand what stuff that was sold to John Cameron was sold to 500 different guys who came during Pesach. Those 500 items. The other one,
yeah,
the only one.
No, the John authorized them to sell.
No, even before, before, without the Ramaz Shara, he has 100 units of stock in Thomas, and he takes 10 of them and sells them. The other 90 were still John Rounds. I don't understand why Thomas is all
in a Hanami. The fact that they stole a certain percentage of it, argue most possible against Rav Moshe, indicates the whole thing is a bluff. And Rav Moshe says, no. Like usually, Rav Moshe says what Aaron said. No, the sale is a sale. He's a thief. So he stole a certain percentage of the rest. He didn't steal.
So you're saying that other post came
Yeah, most posts were against Rav. The Rav was against Rav Moshe this. The Stechem was against Rav Moshe this. Rav Moshe this. Yes?
What about the fact that the store owner stole or
after Pesach, doesn't that also show that it's belonging? A little bit. What about a factory where they actually produce chametz, yes? You're right. But we're not concerned about him. The guy's going to a trade for a restaurant, we have bread and pork and Pesach night for the Seder. We have Rachmanis on it. But we have to worry about the orthodox members of the community, that's our concern. Even when it comes to a factory which produces chametz on Pesach and you can't get it to close, so a similar trick has been suggested as the best thing to do in such a circumstance. Namely, that the factory continues to produce, but the factory, the whole factory mechanism is considered to be agents of employees, the subcontractors of John J. Brown, and they make cookies and sell them. When Pesach is over, they make an accounting, and really John J. Brown should have the profits and all the losses. But in lieu of the exact accounting, so they settle on a certain amount of money, 15 cents, whatever it was, not that other document which I showed you, which works. You left me a question. When the people deliver the chametz to the store, and the Jew is there to accept it business as usual, how can you say that it belongs to the guy, John Brown? Ain shlichus l'nokri. John Brown cannot have a Jew serve as a shaliah. That's a big question. So one of the answers we suggested was that yad poel ki yad balabais, that the hand of the worker is like the hand of the person who pays it. Being paid over here in a few cents, that would work. Not for that, we have to assume that it'll be put it down in the store. The store is rented to the guy, so therefore that would work. In your chotzer, whatever. These are not the chatchilas, mind you. But there's no alternative. That's what we do in order to save the members of the community. And I guess in some situations, that's the proper thing to do. Nothing else can be done. That's the proper thing to do. Okay. Now, our last topic for today is just to go through the various methods of kinyan, which are used for mechiras chametz, and see what the strong points and the weak points are of all of them. Yes, sir. The fact that we do the following trick. John Brown buys all the inventory. Not only that, but John Brown hires Company X, which is a Jewish-owned, which has been Jewish-owned, and still Jewish-operated company, to operate the factory on his behalf, to sell the chametz on his behalf, to make all the profits on his behalf, and to do business as usual on his behalf, to produce on his behalf, everything. And then when it comes to the Pesach is over, they'll do a reckoning. When it comes to it, they can really find it was a good week, it was a bad week, and then change the dollars back and forth. It's written in lieu of this exact accounting, they can just settle that it gives them 15 cents per factory, and that's the end of the story. That's how we do it. Above, let's count up all the kinyanim. Yes.
What about the whiskey
owned
by?
Let's offer all of our Pesach. So we mentioned that Seagram's, but I don't know if they sell their chametz. They don't.
Not doing all the diukim that you're doing at the chametz. Does that work or not?
Diukim.
I mean, we have a bunch of chumras with all the kinyanim.
Diukim. No, that's one of the chatchilim. But the yevet, even if it's not done with all this diktukim that we have, it's okay. If he's not an Orthodox rabbi, I don't know what he does. You know, so I can't vouch for it at all. Yes.
Especially if
the Beit
Knesset, we don't want the chametz around, and that's how you don't want to compete. If the Jews were allowed to work the factory, would it be
asur
because we don't want them working
the chametz? Well, if they're actually working with chametz proper, then it's a question of having hanah from chametz, because they're getting paid for their work with chametz, and they shouldn't do that. If they just work in the front office, it's a different story, huh? Rabosai, let's go to the direct kinyanim on the chametz itself. What kinyanim do we have? Kesef, which is a big time machlokas. Is the work on that by a guy? It's Some say yes, some say no. How do we do our kesef? We pay the whole thing, we pointed out. We pay a part, and the rest is a kifa b'milveh, as an outstanding debt, the non-payment of which in no way affects the sale. This works according to everybody except for parents, except for Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe said it doesn't work, a complicated story of a Metzia. He insists on the appointment of a whom? Of a Arif Kabla. Many people say that shouldn't be done. It's not necessary. It makes things worse, not better. We don't do that. We're not proud of a Kabla. Let's leave it out by Mechira's comments. All right, so that's called Kesef. Ideally, we should do Meshicha. If we did Kesef and Meshicha, we'd be home free. But Meshicha, we can't do it. It's not practical. Schlep all that chametz into his house. It's just not practical to be done. What else can we possibly do? We do Chalipin. Chalipin means you take a handkerchief and...
That's right.
Now, Kesef itself may not work because it says, O'konam yalem misecha. And by misecha, the Kesef, follow the Kachavim, the Meshicha. So according to many, we've shown him in Amoroyim, it wouldn't work. Chalipin, you'll say it relates to Kesef, but it's not really the same as Kesef. It may really work. It should work. But there are some posts who say it doesn't work. Why? Because it says in the Megillas Rus, which is the marker for Chalipin, it says, the vos, the fun of Israel, ala gula, ala tzvula, shalaf, vishnar, vas, nareyos. So some say Chalipin won't work because it only applies to Israel, doesn't apply to non-Jews. That's one objection raised to Kenyan Chalipin. Others say Chalipin that they're Abana. It's only rabbinical Kenyan, it's not from the Ferish Chamish Chamish Torah. And Kenyan de Rabbanan lo mahanin de Doraisa. And for the sale of Chametz, and Kenyan de Rabbanan would not be effective. We find this elsewhere. For the Tilas Lulav, the Pesukim say. You only acquire the Lulav of the Rabbanan, it's no good for the mitzvah Doraisa. Yet others say, some say, and others say, no. Don't make a tetzvav. You're comparing Mechiras Chametz and the Tilas Lulav. It's not a fair comparison. In the Tilas Lulav, the Lulav must be yours in a positive sense. In Chametz, as long as it's not yours, it's okay. What do I mean by that? Many Poskim say that the Shaila with the Kinyan de Rabbana works for the rice depends upon the power of Hefker, Bez, and Hefker. Does this power work on a level of the rice only to expropriate or even to appropriate? If it works even to appropriate, they can take it from me and give it to you. And Kinyan de Rabbana works for the rice. Rabbis took it from Reuven and gave it to Shimon. Why not? But if it only works to expropriate, they're going to take it away from Reuven, all right, but they can't give it to Shimon. If Shimon is the one who wants to be yotzeh in the field of lulav, he can't get it, so he's not yotzeh. But when it comes to chametz, as long as I get it to no man's land, which is the hefker, it's neither mine nor yours, the Jews nor the guys, then it would be a satisfactory situation in a Torah. And therefore they suggest that even though it might be the Rabbanan, it might work anyway. What else do we do besides? We do tzitumta. What is tzitumta? Mineg asocha. We shake hands. By shaking hands on the chametz, you know, we should hereby agree. That's what's called the custom of the merchants in town in the country. And I think at many places, shaking hands is you know the final step. In selling things, you know, not always. There are many who unfortunately renege from such phenomena or so, but all right, but it should be the final. Now, that's what we do in terms of the straight kinyan of the chametz. Let's review. We do kesef, ideally it's the meshicha, but most people don't because it's impractical. We do chalipin, and we do Situmta. Situmta again might be only the Rabbanan, and therefore it's a question that may not work for our purposes. Maybe it does work, same problem with Chalipin may have. Chalipin may not work by Goyim.
Which one definitely?
Nothing. There's not one Kenyan that definitely works. Sorry to say. There's not one Kenyan out of all that we use that you can say it definitely works. That's why we keep using all so many to increase the odds. If each one has a good chance of working, you just add it up. So afterwards you get 99.9%. So that's why we keep piling on the Kenyanim. Keep churning them out. Huh? We can't get there yet. Well, we keep churning them out. And it's a matter we write that in the document. If any one of them works, sure good. Because, you know, you shouldn't say the invalid one should invalidate the whole thing. Either invalid method of Kenyan or an invalid sale. Let's say one guy didn't really mean it, one guy doesn't really mind to sell, one guy's related, whatever one guy is going to do, it shouldn't have negative impact on the rest of the sale. Yes?
I don't understand why owned by the shares company for your first child is sold.
You're right. There will be an old.
Beforehand, there was no problem.
No, my friend. Even if you want to sell a VCR to a non-Jew, they have the same problem. It's a visa, I can do b'shichan. That's the one case, Jeff, the one case that we have where b'shichan is impractical. It's impractical for him to get it, and therefore we have to look for something else. There's another case, by the way. We sell the b'chor, the behemoth of Akeres. We sell a pregnant animal which is about to have its first born to avoid a b'chor being Jew the Shush, which is all over us. And then they also make these big tricks which we find in the Rishon, the beginning of Masechta Bechoros. There is another case where they talk about. Now, let's now go to the rental of the areas which the Chabad has found. We use the same exact kinyanim. We use Kesef. We don't use Mashiach, because we never use Mashiach anyway, but you can't pull karka. We use Kesef. We use shaking of the hands, and we use Chalipin. Those same three could work to affect the transfer of the land as well. We also use Shtar to affect the rentals. You mentioned before. Shtar very likely would not work for the Chametz directly, unless you go with the Minig HaSofer, which you just described a minute ago, and say a document is a way in which you want to sell movables in American law. Or through Dina de Malchusa, speaking about law. The actual Dina de Malchusa is a separate category. But that's not the main intention. The main intention is primarily to affect the mechira, the schiras of the karka, and to give the guy a good feeling that he has documentation to prove that everything is on the up and up. Right. And especially because the only documentation you mentioned earlier. Alright. So that's what we do as far as the transfer of the karka. Now we can invoke two additional modes of types of kinyan in order to achieve the kinyan of the chametz itself. One is called agav. What does agav mean? How did the chasam sofer translate to German? Kraft. Or as I retranslated to English, by dint. By George. By dint of this transfer of the real estate. So then the chametz, the movables, are also get transferred over to the gov. Now, agav sounds like a wonderful kinyan, terrific. But it too has its detractors. For those who claim agav doesn't work for one of two reasons, either Darabonah, it won't work for the kinyan, Darabonah doesn't work for Daraisa, or it was never instituted for Goyim. It's an odd, it's not found anywhere in Farish and Shas. Right, and then it just wasn't introduced in Jew, non-Jew relationships. That's why it's the bone of contention. Yes? I think it's by strength, by force. Agav means that by force of your acquiring my property, my real estate, you also acquire my movables. We both agree on it at the same time. Now the final one. The final one is Kinyan Chatzer. Kinyan Chatzer means that whatever you own a piece of property, whatever is found in that property, be it oil, gold, silver, chametz, whatever is found in the property belongs to the person who owns or rents the property. And that's what's called Kinyan Chatzah. So it's a major question. Does Kinyan Chatzah work for a guy? So at first, this is a Beferish Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which talks about Caleb Shalkona. If a guy has a kli, has a utensil, which works b'torah as Kinyan Chatzah, presumably, and something is put into that kli, then the non-Jew, in fact, is Kona. See, Beferish and Gemara, Kinyan Chatzah works for a goy, Pashtus. But, there's always a but, seems. There are those who claim, no, can't work for a goy, it's an impossibility. Why is it an impossibility? Because we know the Gemara and Baba Messiah suggests that Chatzah is mitam shlichus, that Chatzah works as a shliach somehow. And we know also, another Gemara tells us that Ein Shlichus le Nachri. So if you put two and two together, it shouldn't work. It seems to say that it does work. Well, they get out, they say the Keli Kli is not really Bitin Mishnah Din Chatzer. It worked two seven. Other than, it's a very serious problem. Doesn't work as now. There seems to be a Gemara that it works, but again, it's not proof positive. There was some who claim it works for a female, not for a male. Ooh. They wanted to use a dafka female non-Jewish person to buy the chametz. Why? Because the Gemara says that they had a gift in Bava Metzia, that chater the itza of a woman is derived from kinyan yad, because a woman has a yad to accept a get for the chater, as opposed to a chater of a man, it's only the Torah shlichus, and shlichus is not applied to a guy. I'll tell you, my first 2 years I deal with a non-Jewish lady. Of course, the question is Setumta. Ooh, Setumta. Shaking hands, that's the question. I don't believe that they call you the Gedolei Olam. I forgot, what do we saw in the back of the Mechiras Chazal? What was it? Which Gedolei has been using a female? One of the Gedolei Olam, Mamash, I forgot which was it. One. Who was Derech Chaim? Somebody of the great, one of the great poskim can use Kor Chaim. Could be. I wonder if he shook the lady's hand when I have my doubts. It's a question of that's a very marginal difference, but the court, the Pasha said that's only make a difference if the woman is standing next to the chater. She can't stand next to all the various chateras. There's so many chateras around. But it's a difficult problem. Chater mishtameres, the chater has to be guarded. So again, the minig of Yisrael is relying on Ramo, who says, even though it's mishtameres, adas ha-makne, not adas ha-kone, that's sufficient. And others disagree with that too. To summarize, every last kinyan is controversial, without exception. And if we try to have as many as possible in order to see to it that the mechira should be effective. Yes?
Is it from the kinyan
aga,
one
is not out of the bottom. The bottom yes.
So I'm sorry, why not the
mechira? So Mr. Brown would not be very happy in taking into his house your carton of schnapps and this guy's box of materials.
Oh,
it's not a practical, on a public level, not practical. Rabosai, that's the view. Tomorrow we begin shir 9:30 in the morning. Tomorrow we'll be chazering, starting from the Indian over here of Bitul Chometz, primarily Chometz the Masho, and we'll try to analyze all the discussions, every... Sech the Pesachim, Chof Tesam at base. Oh my Rab. Chomet bismano ben dumino ben shalom bimino osur. Chomet bismano bimino osur shalom bimino mutter. Reason is given that Rav holds min biminos b'mashu when they made a gzera on Pesach shalom bimino otu mino. We have the opinion of Shmuel and then the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Following the Vaskan of Rabban Aflamin Amalalach on top, Amarabba Hilchasa Chomets Be Bizmano, Be Bimino, Be Shlo Bimino, Osir Bimashu, Kerab, it's our Girsa, but some don't have those, both have Girsa. Some actually passing, it's a Bazal Bishishin, we passing La Alocha, Osir Bimashu, Kerab. And even if we don't passing like Rab, which we'll see soon, we passing like this sheet for yet another reason. Shlo Bizmano, Be Bimino, Be Shlo Bimino, Mutter, Kerab Yishim. So let's concentrate first on the expression Chometz bismano ben bimino ben shalom bimino also b'mashu karat. Just the first two lines. What does that mean? Oh, there are different opinions as to why exactly we pass in this way. It's assumed by almost everybody we pass in like Rava. Omar Rava Hilchasa. First of all, it's Rava, and then he says Hilchasa. So it sounds like this is really the psak. So it doesn't assume that we pass in this way. The question is why. So Rashi is the simplest trap. Rashi says we pass in and call it Torah Kula. Min demino is b'mashu. Push it that way. Shalom b'mino b'mino b'mino. That's Rashi. Simplest of all. But of course, Rashi the das yoch. Ro rishon and paskin ma'alocha. Min demino is b'dal b'ro midoraita. And even midorabonan, they only acted it 1 in 60. If it's more than 1 in 60, exer amino ato she'en amino. If a kerch, ain amino, you need shishim. Why? Because time kika d'oraita. And if it's more than 1 in 60, we assume it's taste. Less than 1 in 60, we assume there's no taste. That's the din min b'shem b'min. Min b'mino, there's no taste at all. It's the same thing. Fish and fish, meat and meat, all exactly the same. You can't taste anything. So midoraita, we paskin. Everybody but Rashi, just about paskin. Midoraita, bottle barof. Midorabonon, you require shishim k'zera to ein amino. But kef ma'gemara, I want you speaking about it there. Eino mino atu mino. That's what's called the Shitas Rav. But if you hold the other way around, punfaket. Midarais the mino is bundle bro. And then we find the xero, mindamino atush eino mino, that he requires shishim. Okay? But mashu is unheard of. So why then over here should it be a mashu? Again, I repeat, the question is if you don't like Rav and Kala Torah, why should Chomas and Pesach be the mashu? That's the question. So here, again, the thought of Shitas Rashi, which is that we pass like Rav, Kala Torah, explain why we accept Mashu and Chometz the Pesach only. So there are a number of basic views here that we show. The simplest view is Mashem Chumah Dekoritz. Chometz is Mashem is Veisa Chumah Dekoritz. Plus, it's Lo B'Dilim Minei, the Rishonim is saying, but, you know, we had it back on the Beis already, people aren't used to it. You put the two together, the high stakes of Koritz and the great chance of confusion because of Lo B'Dilim, this requires extra chumras chazal, and that's what I asked of Rashi. That's the simplest pshat. Okay, simplest pshat of all. Again, Rashi, of course, the simplest pshat. You don't have to say anything called the Rashi. Rashi min b'min of the mashu because it's called the mashu. Only the minik zayin the mino domino. Okay, that you can explain based on the chumras the chumras. But according to the Rav, we shove it all like Rav. The halacha. So the reason we pass the chumras the pesach of mashu was because why chumras are correct and lo b'dilim minet. So they were introduced this chumras. That's the simple pshat. Fine, good. Now, however, there is an additional view, and this view has, again, can be said in one of two ways. But the basic view which we're going to explain now is, a comment is a davar sheyesh lamatir. That's a very famous principle in Kala Torah. Well, you know, it was made davar sheyesh lamatir. Davar sheyesh lamatir has a phrase end. Afilu be'elef lo ba. Comment the sounds like a classical example of Dovah Shiesh Tov Matirin. Why so? Because after all, it's just wait till after Pesach, that's going to be Mutter. So therefore, Chometz, the Pesach, is a Dovah Shiesh Tov Matirin, and for that reason, it's not both. This would explain to us, Rabbosai, why Chometz, the Pesach, the Mino, the Mashu. Because the Klal is Dovah Shiesh Tov Matirin. I feel a better flow bottle that's limited to the Mino. Shalom the Mino, we learn the Farish in the based on the Gemara and the Yerushalmi, Shalom Amino, it is Batla B'Shishim. Davash Yesh Lamatirin, Shalom Amino, is Batla B'Shishim. The question becomes, we have to re-ask ourselves the question, why then is there a Gzeira, excuse me, why then is Chometz Pesach V'Pesach V'Mashu, even what? Shalom Amino. You should say it's only us the V'Mashu V'Mino, like any other Davash Yesh Lamatirin. Why suddenly when it comes to Chometz and Pesach, it's not only is it also b'mino b'mashu, but it's also even what? Shalom b'mino b'mashu. That's a question, why should that be so? You understand the question? Why pretty clear. Why should Shalom b'mino b'mashu? Should be b'mino b'mashu. That we understand. Why Shalom b'mino b'mashu? Here we have a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam and the Ramban both agree to the principle of davar sheyesh lamatir that applies to Chometz. Where they diverge from one another is in the concept of why it's also Shalom Amino. The Ramban says Poshet. It's a Gzer. Shalom Amino Adu Mino. We have it called the Shitas Rashi. Right. So what are the Firah? What did Rav say? Chom is Pesach. Bimino is also Bimashu. Like Kol Yisrael Torah. Shalom Amino is a Gzer Adu Mino. So too says Ramban. According to the way we paskin against Rav. But nevertheless, b'mino is also b'shem davar sheyesh lamatirin. So what is also b'mino for yesh lamatirin? The men is zera, shlo b'mino, otu b'mino. The same way as rabbi is zera, otu min b'mino, lo bottle. So we have on zera, otu davar sheyesh lamatirin, b'mino, lo bottle. It's the exact same thing. Whereas the Rambam gets much fancier, much, much, much fancier. The Rambam calls a pasuk. The pasuk is kol machmetes lo sochelu. As we shall discuss after Pesach, I'm sorry, there's coming attractions. That's the Din D'Oraisa. Haruba's comments, that's a special Din D'Oraisa going to the Rambam, and it has some kind of a Chiddush Din Min HaTorah. Although we're not exactly sure what it means, the Machlok is what the Rambam means. But called the Tikkun Rabbona Ken D'Oraisa Tikkun. Just that we find the level of D'Oraisa, that there exists a concept known as, and by the way, we never really finished the Gemara of Laman of Abed, but in the Gemara that we never read, it says the fairy tale line, called the Tikkun Rabbanan came to write the Tikkun. I assume you saw it. We've said that line so many times this year. So here you have it, Beferish, and that's Laman Abbas and himself. So just like you find the Torah had some kind of Chumrah by Taruvah's Chametz Bidaraisa, so too the Rabbanan imposed the Chumrah by Taruvah's Chametz Midirabbanan, yes. And they said that Dovah Shiesh Tamatirin Shalob Amino is Enobot. You know, one of the normal rules of Shalob Amino, even Yesh Lamatirin is bottle. But Pesach doesn't play by the normal rules. Because Pesach has a separate Chumra of what? Of Kol Machmetz Loso Chelus. Separate Din Doraisa, and it's unique. So too, it exists in the level of the Rabbanon. So we say the principle of Yesh Lamatirin, which ordinarily is limited to Bimino, now extends to Shalob Amino based on the Pesach of Kol Machmetz Loso Chelus. That's the Rambam. Okay, so let's review briefly so far. We have Rashi, Paschas like Rava, so we hold like Rav of Kol HaTorah. We'll call it, what should we call it? The Ran, we didn't give a name before. We'll call it the Ran. The Ran says it's also Mishum Chumra de Chomet, Chumra de Koras, Lobadir de Mine. Then the Rambam and the Ramban both say it's Yesh Lamatiri, that explains Mino, and Svar Shalobah Mino, there's a split. The Rambam says, the Ramban says it's there on the Mino of the Mino, and the Rambam says, Kol Machmetz is Los Ochel. Mayach Kabina, with all this talk, I mean, it's important, right? Chas Shom, we're talking in a pejorative sense, it's important to get the Shitas down straight. Because we combine the practical Nafkamina between the various Shitas. The answer is yes. The answer, Rabbi Osai, is Erev Pesach, Achav Chatzos. What's the name? Erev Pesach, Achav Chatzos. What's the halacha as far as Chametz and Pesach is concerned? What's the name? What's the name? Korah's there isn't. That we know. Should it therefore, didn't therefore be? So Pashas is like this. According to Rashi, Bimino Davada Bimashu, because after all, everything is Bimino Bimashu. All these Surah Shabbatar are Bimino Bimashu. Shalom Bimino, presumably, would not be Bimashu because there's no Korah's. That would seem to be the opinion of Shitas, would come out of court to Shitas Rashi. According to the Ran, I would say even more maybe. There's nothing at all else around Pesach against the Chatzos. Because the whole reason why we were Makwa in the first place, whether Mino or Shlob Amino, is only Mishim Wat, Chumra de Kores, and Lobadin Amine. Because there's no Kores around Pesach against the Chatzos. It should stand to reason that Chometz with Pesach is Bottle B'Shisha. Excuse me, there are Pesach with Bottle B'Shisha.
Mino and Lob Amino.
Because we don't pass them like Rav. Only Rashi passed against it. That's Yochel almost. Almost everyone passes against Rav in that respect. Yes, Avram. Well, we pass in all Minos of Bishishu. Zera or Tishen Amino. Yeah, but I'm saying it would be both of Bishishu. But it would not be Mashu. That's called the Shitas Harad. Now, let's now analyze the other two Shitas. Sorry? Although you're right, the Raisa and Mimimimimim is both of the road. But the Rabbana, all Mimimimimim require Shishu. There, Amino is Hashem Amino, the rule, yeah. The Ran said something? I thought the Ran held that way, the Rosh held that way, am I correct? Well, the Rosh, that Chomet Zera Pesach is not the Mashu. I call it the Ran because he goes through more of an explanation of the reasons behind all these things. Now, then there's the Rambam and the Ramban, so what should happen? So the Chora is like this. Din of Dava Shiesh Lamatirin, which is what Mishnah according to both Rambam and Ramban, it's clear that Chometz, Erev Pesach, Yom Tov, is the mashu at least as far as what's concerned, as far as Min Be Mino is concerned. Min Be Mino is concerned. Correct. We mentioned already before that the Shulchan Aruch seems to disagree. Pashut Shulchan Aruch says it's bottled B'Shishim even Be Mino, but he presumably holds it's not considered a Yesh Lamatir. That's what I call the Ran, or the Rosh, whatever you want to call it. Fine. But now, what does it mean by Min Be She'eino Mino, according to the Rambam and the Ramban? It seems to me that here's where they split Halacha L'Maisa. According to the Ramban, it's a Gzeira She'eino Mino, Oto Mino and Pesach. So the Pashas, you should say that it does apply. But they made a Gzeira here as well. However, according to the Rambam, Pesach Kol Machmes is Lo Sochelu, that's a specialty which only is limited to the 7 days of Pesach, Kol Machmes. And therefore, one might argue, according to the Rambam, that it would be permissible min b'she'ena mino, the cast of vishnus of the b'feresh. That min b'mino, again, erev Pesach would be b'shishim min b'she'ena mino, and b'mashim min b'mino. He's called for the program. He comes from Florida, so you could.
Okay.
Florida with a short thick shirt and there an open window, doesn't bother him. New England blood in him, that's for sure. Yeah.
I understand. What's the real difference between the Rambam? The Rambam thing is there, and the Rambam thing is there, I'll just think of Pesach for
it. Yeah, but the big difference, what the basis of it is. According to the Rambam, the stomach is there by Pesach, by Chometz, if it's there, then I mean what's the meaning. So presumably it would apply not only on Pesach itself, but even on Arab Pesach, presumably. Because according to the Rambam, it's not stomach there. It's an extension of the Pesach of Chomach Mesh, it's also Chelu, which is Asa Taruvah's Chometz. And therefore, since that pasuk is limited to Pesach proper, so the extension is also limited to Pesach proper. That's what we assume. Yeah, you can ding that, you can argue, but that's the pasuk. That's the pasuk. Now, there's a double whammy machlokas between the Ramban and the Ran, right here in the sugi. And I want to just explain what both machlokas are. One is as far as the Ramban Zera is concerned, which you just mentioned a minute ago. He made a gzera, eino mino atu mino, and as precedent for this gzera, he cited Rav. Rav made a gzera, eino mino atu mino. So too, by Yesh Lamatirin, to make a gzera, eino mino atu mino. And the Ran takes him to task. He said, that's no comparison, Ramban. I'll tell you why. Because in the case of eino mino atu mino of Rav, since he holds bin bimino zoraisa, so it makes sense to make a zero, eno mino, otomino, zero, otomino, zoraisa. But dovo sheyesh lematirin. Even by mino is only what? Come on. It's only what? Midrabanon. So we should say that eno mino, otomino should be viewed as a what, what?
Zero,
zero. Zero, it should be, shouldn't be made. That's an obvious question which the Ran raises against the Ramban. And now, but you were given a challenge upon the jackpot, and no one found it. I asked you to find me an answer. Well, how did the Ramban defend himself against the Ran? And the answer was found a week later. We saw the Rabbeinu David. I think it's even closer to the Ramban himself, but he holds that Min Bimino, according to Rav and Tana Rabbi Yehuda, is the Rabbana. It's always the Rabbana, except for Kutchin. The whole source is Dama Parva, Dama Sawyer, by Yom Kippur. I'm a parvah, I'm a sorrow, then they mix them up and they still maintain their own identities that indicate that min b'mino lo bono. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda said to be derived from kutchin. We always call that the din d'oraisa. Tam the Ramban, Rabbi the Dovin, they say no, the din d'rabbana. Min d'oraisa is taka limited to kutchin. The holiday. The d'rabbana is extended to other isurim. If that is a fact, then the Ran's question falls off completely. The Ran said, what right did the Ramban have to extend? Right? They're not both, we'll use different words. But right did the Ramban have to extend the halacha which we found in the Gemara by Rav with respect to Ein Amino Atu Mino to a case of Dova Sheish Tamatirin. Min Bimino by one of the Rav is the Reis. Yesh Tamatirin told me the Rabbana. The answer, they're both the Rabbana. After, of course, the dope scream, so what, we just made it worse? So they're both Zeru the Zeru. Well, you know, we answer these kinds of questions. Either Kula Chodek Zero, or they made this as an exception, whatever. However you'll get around that problem, but at least you'll have a good precedent, a good legal precedent for it. That's machlokas number one between the Ran and the Ramban. Oh, Hashem. Name Alayim. Oh, Hashem.
Because they're
the first is the right and the second is the Rabbanah. The answer is they're both the Rabbanah.
The
question was, the Ran assumed, that's how we always assume, that Min, Bimino, the Rab is the right. That's Pashm Shah. So then they said the question against the Ramban is very strong. But the Ramban already took care of it. The Ramban happens to hold, like a man of David, his Talmud, the Min Bimino is the Rabbanon, according to Rab. So if Rab to make a Xerah, and Amino as Amino, when Min Bimino is the Rabbanon, so too, on this exact same level, we can justify a Xerah of Amino as Amino with respect to Dabba Sheshta Matirin. Exactly the same thing. They're both the Rabbanon. Either both problematic. So you're right. Whatever you get out of one, you're out of the other. Called Xerah, Chumah the Chometz, whatever you'll say. But it does constitute an excellent precedent. Okay. Next fundamental dispute between the Ramban and the Rav. Listen very carefully now. After he thinks the whole thing is a bluff, it really shouldn't be considered the Yesh Lamadir. There exists an issue of Chometz over all of our passion. If you wait till after Pesach, it will not be mutter. Because Chometz she'avel of HaPesach is awesome. An obvious question. You think the Rambam and the Rambam are stupid? They didn't know that after Pesach is awesome? So what's the answer? The Rambam gave the answer which they would give. He rejected. What answer would they give? True. If you left it by itself, it would be prohibited after Pesach. But if you leave it in the taruvus, it's in right now. This taruvus, this mixture. So right now, we can view it as being an issur because chametz and pesach is ordinarily prohibited, and there's no normal leniencies involved for chametz and pesach. Whereas chametz over all of a pesach, she passed like a shimon. It's only a knas. So therefore it's mutter b'taruvus. We'll see later what kind of taruvus. Robe, or shishim, whatever. But it certainly is an isur kal. They never made an isur on a b'taruvus. So at least in the taruvus form, it's yesh lamatirin. That's the Rambam and the Rambam will obviously answer to the Ram. The taruvus form is yesh lamatirin. Now the question is, who's right? Who's right? Is the Rambam and the Ramban right? It should be viewed as yesh lamatirin? Or is the Ram right? It should not be viewed as yesh lamatirin. So l'aniyah daiti, yes, Ramban will say that the reason why we consider the Yesh Lamatirin is because if you just leave this Taruvus over until after Pesach, then it will be Hetzer Gamma. It won't be a Hetzer based upon Bitful, etc. It's not Hetzer Gamma. Chazal never made a Gzeira on Taruvus Chometz, Shavuot of a Pesach. They never made a Gzeira in the first place. So therefore, just wait till after Pesach, and then it'll be Hetzer Gamma. You also don't want to resort to Bittul. So the point of Yesh Lamatirin is not to resort to Bittul. That's what we'll come to in a minute. So you consider the Yesh Lamatirin. So again, Laniyah Daiti depends upon the fundamental understanding of Davash Yesh Lamatirin. According to the classical understanding, which we attribute to Rashi, Rashi's famous words of the Sefer Beitza, Ache Tochlenu B'Yisr, Tochlenu B'Hetzer. Why take a chance? Why resort to Bittul? Just wait, be a little bit patient. So if that's the understanding, then the Rambam and the Ramban are right. Just wait till after Pesach. If you wait till after Pesach, it'll be Hetzer Gamma without resorting to Bittul. And they never made it there in the first place in the Ovar Lava Pesach Shur, B'Taruvus. So it's Hetzer Gamma. So why take a chance? That would explain to us perfectly the Shita of Rambam and Ramban. They go with Rashi's Mahalas, the simple understanding of Yesh Lamatirin. However, on both sides, the Ran is the Shitasa. The famous Ran in the Sefer Nedarim. What does the Ran say in the Sefer Nedarim? Famous Ran. Explains why is it that Yesh Lamatirin is low bottle. Because Yesh Lamatirin is low bottle because there is insufficient contrast between the Isser and the Hetzer. The Isser is not a full-fledged Isser. The Ran in the Dorim, Nafnun Beis. Insufficiently strong Isser because it's Yesh Lamatirin. wait a while and it becomes mutter. So it's not so such a powerful iser. Not such a powerful iser. So the contrast it has with heter is fairly weak. If the contrast it has with heter is fairly weak, therefore we have a right to assume that it cannot produce the kind of bittul, the contrast which is necessary for bittul, and therefore in fact it's not both. It's what we call a lumdus, a fancy lumdus, not just a practical matter. Well, why take a chance and result to bittul? Just wait around for a week or a day. Oh, hold on a second. Just say a much fancier var. What fancier var should we say? Let's go again. What fancier var should we say? Anu Rabot, what's the fancier var? The Ram's fancy var. What did he say? He said you need a strong contrast between the Easter and the heaven. You don't have it. You don't have it. You know the strong contrast between the Easter and the heaven. So therefore, for this reason, we say that it's not bottled. It's not bottled. Indeed, as Dov correctly pointed out, why is there a distinction between Nindumino and Minshalob Amino? The Ran gives a beautiful explanation. The Ran says that in Shalob Amino, the reason why it's permissible is because of the physical contrast. So the combination of the physical contrast with the halachic contrast, although the halachic contrast itself is insufficient, it's not such a strong, stark, to use the terms we used last time, black and white contrast. So rather, we remember the expression we used? We call it grit. We'll come to that later, charcoal. It's gray and white. Gray and white is not such a strong contrast, but if you combine with that gray-white halacha contrast, the physical contrast of min shalom amin and min shalein amino, these two combine to create a strong enough contrast to warrant bittul. This is how we explain the Ram. How will the traditional interpretation, Rashi, and we say the Rambam and Ramban all the same way, that the reason the nature of a Dovashishta material ain't a bus is because why take a chance? Why resort to bittul? So that's the question. You'll ask a good, if that's the, that's a shot, you can ask a question. Maishna min bimino, maishna min bishamino. It should be exactly the same thing. What's the difference? I told you a shot from the Rav, the one of the Rav. He said that min bishamino mino is not a, does not have to necessarily work with all the formalities of bittul. Min bishamino mino simply, the taste is diffused so widely that it becomes, in effect, tasteless. Because you say you've taken min A, mixed it with min B, 1% or less, so you can't taste A and B. That may not have to resort to all the formalities of bittul. We just say stop, it doesn't exist. It's been diffused. As opposed to min bimino, when everything tastes the same, the candidate's been diffused. What means diffused? It all tastes exactly the same way. So what you're tasting can be attributed to Easter as well as to Hefter. So the way around that is a formalized bittul. A formalized bittul does not apply national material, because we'd rather not resort to a formalized bittul when we can simply wait a week and then say it's going to be permissible automatically. Oh. That's just an explanation of Enomino. Let's not go back to my original point. What's the machlokes, or the fundamental dispute between the Ran and the Ramban as to whether you would apply the principle of Yesh Tamatir and Chametz to face? The Ran says no, because it's also after Pesach. Ramban will counter yes, because the Taruvus is mutter after Pesach. So who's right? I think it depends upon the same Shaila. According to the Rashi, the pragmatist, right? The Rashi Shita, what are you doing over here? Why are you resorting to bittul? Just wait a few days and you won't have to come resort to a bittul. Then it should apply even in the case of Chametz v'Pesach. Why? Because Chametz v'Pesach is now b'tarovus, got mixed up together. On Pesach, you'd have to resort to a bittul, because Chametz v'Pesach is also. Come Otsoi Pesach, you won't have to resort to any bittul. Why? Because tarovus is only a knach, and the knach was never instituted in the first place in a situation of tarovus. You don't have to come on to a bittul. So therefore, just wait till after Pesach, and it'll be hefter gamur without bittul. That's why it's considered yesh no matirin. But according to the Ran, the Shitosa, Rabosai, the loveness over here, the Ran understands that it's a change in the very nature of the Isser. The very Isser is different. Because it's going to be mutter later, we label it as gray, not as black. and the conflict is not started up. That definition, Morav Rabosai, depends upon the pure, unadulterated Isser. If this pure, unadulterated Isser, known as Chometz, will be prohibited forever, even after Pesach, then that's not gray, that's black. That's black. Why is that black? Because after all, what is it? It's a Isser which is going to be forever and ever and ever. Ah, you tell me that right now it's in the Taruvah. The rain is that coming, being too practical. I'm being lumbers. I'm discussing things from the theoretical, conceptual perspective. And conceptually, the Isafamis is forever. And as a result of that, we should say that Chometz is not a Yeshna material, because it's going to be Usa forever. And therefore, indeed, according to Shita Saran, Chometz is not considered to be a Davash Yeshna material. He rejects the opinion of the Rambam and the Ramban. For that reason, Lishita, so I'm suggesting, in Masechta Nedarim. Yes, Aliyah. I mentioned this in passing. The question was, why is it that Davash Yeshna material does not apply in Mindushen Amina? He said it before as a matter of faith. The Gemara said so. But why? So the Ram gave this beautiful explanation, based on the whole Mahalach over there in the Dorim. Lack of contrast. So if you have a Yesh Lo Matirin, it's considered gray, not some contrast with the white strongly enough. But to add the extra dimension of a physical contrast, one is two different species than the other, then if you put the two together, what comes out? It's a strong enough contrast, which implies the principle of what? Of Bittul. So Bibish Ein Amino, Yesh Lo Matirin, is sufficient contrast, so in fact it is both. That's the Ran and the Sefer Nedarim. So the question of the Khan is very beautiful, Ran. Where does that leave everybody else? Everyone else denies the Ran. The Ran is a Chiddush Nifla. Rashi, we're saying that the Ramban, the Ramah, all deny the Ran. So why do they say that Midbash and Amino is different? That's why I quoted Rav Soloveitchik, the Quran of the Rambam. He said that Midbash Amino is a formalized act of bitter. You can't say it that it's in any way diffused or became insignificant in the taste. It all tastes the same. But I'm taking a bite. You can say I'm biting Easter, I'm biting Heaven. Everything tastes the same. So you need a formalized bitl of Echad Bishishim, not Tikkun Chazal. They're formalized bitl, we say don't resort to bitl. Wait a week. You won't need a bitl anymore. But Min Bishayin Amino, the Rav said, that's not such a big deal, it's not such a formalized in a bitl. Rather, the Chalice just becomes undetectable, untastable in 100 parts of Heaven. It became diffused completely. So you just cannot taste that taste at all, so therefore that may not be such a formal halakha of bitl. And for this reason, perhaps it would be permissible even if it's Yesh Lo Matirin. That's another question. Can't do again. Yesh Lo Matirin, according to the Ran, means it's not black, it's gray. Black means it's usher forever. Gray means it's only going to be usher for a short period of time. Chometz on Pesach is black, not gray. So you can wait till the Shia comes. It's still going to be usher. Why so? But black, I'll tell me the black got diluted. No, Draymond, that's just a technical detail. But now, obviously, with Tarumas. But we're discussing the Etzema Issa conceptually. That's why I thought the Rana Tashi does. And one final tool about the Shabbosai is the Mordechai. What did the Mordechai say? Two things. Two major things the Mordechai said in one breath. Number one, he said he thinks the Chomash is not a Dhamma Sheshna Matiri. You know why? It's going to be also the next year. And the next pace is going to be also. Next pace is going to be also. And number two, he says, you have Kolshke Nikutzen. You have only a time of Chometz, because it's Balua B'Kli. The Chometz itself is completely absorbed in the Kli. It's just the taste that's coming out. It's certainly, we should not apply the principle of Yesh Lo Matirin. So the Mordechai is Sistrei Torah at first glance. Mamash Sistrei Torah. We don't know what he's talking about. Who cares about next year? You have 50 intervening weeks during which it's going to be Mutter. Why should not be Yesh Lo Matirin? And two, what's the connection with this Caleb story? What's the link? So I said in Adiyah Zaiti, comets which got Balua and a Kli. So the Mordechai says that should not be viewed as Yesh Lo Matirin. Why not? It gives it off taste. For the same general principle, why even bottle this taste? Just say that we'll wait an extra week. He is dying in the Mordech has gone to Chinas Aran, basically. A love the Shepshat in Yeshla Matirin. And the love the Shepshat in Yeshla Matirin is that in order to have a stark contrast between Ister and Heter, it is black and white. Ister is black and Heter is white. Yeshla Matirin is heavy mutter and a day or a week or a month or a year, and mutter forever. It's called gray. Ah. Said the Mordechai. The fact that it's going to become usher again a year from now moves it up a little bit on the color scale. Here's where Akiva's expression comes in. It's not called plain gray, but it's called charcoal gray. But it's close enough to black to warrant a contrast and a bittle. Because although right now we say that it's going to be mutter next week, yeah, but it's going to become usher again in 50 weeks. And that's future isser. Gives it a different tinge, a different coloration, if you will, to the Yisr. It's a more serious Yisr, and therefore it can be contrasted strongly and sufficiently enough with the Heter to warrant a bittul. That explains part A of the Mordechai. B of the Mordechai. God himself said that if it's min tishen amino, the physical contrast of two different species combined with the elements of halachic contrast of gray with white, as we called it before, to in order to create a bittul strong enough to make a contrast strong enough to create a bittul. Lanias Daimek in the Chad of Mordechai too. Also a physical contrast. Why physical contrast? It's not just two items of food on a plate. No. One's in a plate and one's in a pot. Back in his balua of the clean, that's considered to be physically different than the head which is being cooked in that pot. This is a physical difference, because one is in a pot, it's a lua, and one is an actual food which is on top of the, lying in the pot. That extra nuance, that extra physical contrast might be sufficient in combination with the moderate halakhic contrast to create a strong enough contrast to warrant it. That's why I understand the Mordechai. So he goes going with the Mahalach of the Rana. Terrible side, so we so far had a mouthful over here today. We spoke about the Yisr of Karmas, the Pesach, of Nashahu. We gave four reasons. Rashi, we call the Ran, the Ramam and the Ramban, both of Yeshua Matirin. We then explained the double machlokos between Ran, no, the practical difference, Erev Pesach, Achatzos, the question whether the Bakl of the Shishim, would it be Mamashu, or would it be a split between Mino and Sheino Mino? Might be three different possibilities. Then we spoke about the double Machlokas Rambam and Ramban concerning what? One, Nidbe Mino Doraisa de Rabbonim, which is relevant to whether you make a Xeira, Heino Mino Aso Mino over here, or whether it's a precedent for it or not. Two, the question is, do we view it as a Yesh La Matirin, because the Tarobas is Yeshla Matirin, because she is Ramban and Rambam. Or do we say no? We should say it's Ein La Matirin, because why? Because if you leave it be'ed in its original pristine pure state, it'll never become a. And we pointed out that I think that the Ranas of Shittosim, Rambam and the Ramban are practical, with like Rashi Shita. The Ranas of Shittosim, the Dorm, are alumnus, and alumnus depends upon the actual Israel itself, and not upon its Tarobas, its mitzvah. And in passing, when we quote about the Ram, we explain why there exists a difference between Mino and Shaloba Mino. The Ram's trap is a physical contrast, and the Rav's trap is not considered so much to be a bittul, it's just that it's just diffused, it's just sort of, it happens by itself, you know, it's not a formalized bittul. And then we explain the Mordechai. The fact that he considers to be Ein Lo Matir in the next year's Pesach, so we explain it's not called gray, it's charcoal gray. And the Mordechai Lishitosu, the Kolshken, he says, the Tam is a physical contrast. Aside from the Lacha Kachin, the Rana Mordechai also Kashi the Sarah, but the Mordechai Rashi, both of those then would probably be wrong on a practical basis. Okay? So we went through this whole Mahalach, this whole Sugya in the Chazorah. Have any questions? Ask me now. A little bit complicated, but if I started with this, I figured this is a hard engine, so get it down pat first. Yes, Ellie? That's the lesson I use, yeah? Right. So, I explained by Chomash, is not a Yesh Lamadir. So even though it's going to be mutter after Pesach, true, it's going to be usher a year hence. Okay? And then it stands in the case of Tam. Tam is also has a physical contrast with the food itself. That's how I explain it. There's a link between those two halachas in the morning. Can't even believe it's a chiddush, but that's what I thought. Yes, Daniel. Called Rashi holds Erech Hetz Achachatos. So we suggested that Rashi will hold that Min Bemina is going to be Mashal, no different than any other Issa, because he holds that all these, every Issa in the Torah is Min Bemina. He passes like Rab. However, the one could suggest that the Min Bishayin Amino might be Mutter. Perhaps he only makes a Gezerah on Pesach when it's Chorus. We suggest, what Rashi has to become sure. Yes, Josh. The Mordechai says, I'm telling you now that Chometz is not considered a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matir. And therefore it's bottle. Why? Because it's going to be also the following year. The call came to the Mordechai. If it's Balu on a Kli, we do not invoke the principle of Yesh Lo Matir in this context. What's the call scare? What's the call scare is as follows. Let's give it the opposite view. If you're like Rashi, it's purely a pragmatic matter, then we should apply it despite the fact it's going to be also next year. Who cares if 50 weeks are going to be without the door to Bethel? And despite the fact that it's absorbed in the Kli, who cares if the taste is going to come out? We have to be Mavopolis. And why should we resort to Bethel? We have an alternative. So the Mordechai saying is against Rashi. The Mordechai is like Shita Sarabi, we call it. That's the love of the Shavuot in Yesh Lo Matir. And for this reason, both of them are different, turned upside down. On the one hand, he says what? That the fact that it's going to be prohibited the following year makes it an Ein Lo Matir. We called it before charcoal gray, because it's going to be utter again. And the fact that it's Balu of the Kli introduces an extra element of a physical contrast to the derived Min B'Shein Amino. And therefore that combines with the moderate halakhic contrast and warrants a bit. That's what we explain in the morning. Yes, David. Yesh Lo Matir is Mutter B'Shish, Mutter Bottle B'Shish is Min B'Shein Amino. That's how the Rabbi explained. That's how the Rabbi said. Okay, Rabbi said. Now, we're still holding by the first line. Oh, we'll have to review the Gemara again. Amar Rava. We're still in the same line. Amar Rava, Amar Rava, Hilchasa. Chometz Bismano, Bein Bimino, Bein Shlo Bimino, also the Vashu Kara. Okay? Same line. You know, this one liner or two liner does not, it paints with a very broad brush, does not go into the intricate details. This leaves the Rishonim to discuss and to debate what are some of the details over here. Just to give you a number of examples of the details are debated in this context. Number one, may you have hana from this comment. Is it us only by Achila, or is it even us by hana? So textually, it's dependent on Sugin Avodah Zarah. That find out, which we looked inside, we saw inside. Mara says that he doesn't mention this, doesn't mention that. It's a question, let's gloss over that for the moment. Rashi encourages him, Avodah Zarah, that find out. But the lustiness of it here is very, very simple, I think. The writing, based on his interpretation of the Gemara, it says it's Mutter Bahano. And that's why should be Mutter Bahano. Also Bahila should be also Bahano. It's a difference. So we had a shot in the Ravid. I thought it was a very nice shot. The Ravid holds the Chumra the Koritz. Koritz is only what? Bahila. So therefore he says we have to ask the Bahila, but Bahano, but there's no possibility of Koritz. So he didn't impose the Issa. That's why I thought it was a simple, relatively simple shot within the Ravid. The Ravid for some reason didn't like it. I don't know exactly why, but, yeah. I don't understand. Other Yisurah and are but. You're right. Maybe my shot is only, will only help in Chometz face. So we learn the other again, if we have to go figure out over there. But over here, I think there would be a satisfactory answer. Okay. We should, but since we're not learning Shas at once, so we have to limit ourselves a little bit.
I mean, maybe that's the real reason why things are not
beautiful. Again, I don't know. I can see that we didn't cover all Shas. I can see. And maybe we really should have, because these are the relevant parts of the Lord of Dharma. But we didn't. We had to cut it somewhere. Next question. also textually related to the sugya in Avodah Zarah. And that is, all right, Naniyah, let's grant. It's also about Pila, it's also about Hanoh, everything that works. But can I say, all right, I won't have Hanoh from the Chometz that got mixed into my matzah, into my kosher lepeitzah of the Gestapo. So what I do, I'll sell it for the value of the non-chometz. Yimoker chutz midnayisa shabo. Would that work? That's again a machlokas rishonim. Yes. Can I sell the chometz, which has become not chometz? Can I sell this whole mishmash, which has a mashu of chometz in it, and I'll just sell it for the value of everything except for the chometz which is contained therein? So the Pashas, the Gemara says in the Septa, but the same exact daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara seems to say as follows. Well, can you do it or can you not do it? Depends. But the Gemara says that usually you can do it by Stam Yena, more since you can do it. By Yayin Nesef proper, you cannot do it. The Gemara says, that's the Gemara we had, we saw that Gemara, and I have dollars, the last line I think it was. And I dollar and alpha and about a zara. So the question now becomes, well, where does Chometz with Pesach fit in? Read it? Hot? Whatever, I don't know, you gotta want to get talk to it. My leg is over here. Shot. So here's the Shaila. Where does Chometz with Pesach fit in? So what's the machlokes? So it's the machlokes, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, the machlokes are the paskin. According to the Shulchan Aruch, chometz for Pesach is no worse than Stam Yenom. And therefore, the same as Stam Yenom, you can sell the whole thing, chutz mitvayis, the Shabbat, and therefore you can really avoid a financial loss. So too bad chometz for Pesach is exactly the same thing. However, the Ramah disagrees. Machlokes Rishonim ultimately, Machlokes Rishonim, Mordechai and others. The Ramah Machmir says, no, Chometz with Pesach has the same stringent status as the Yayin Nesef has. And that you may not be sell the whole thing, Chutz Mitzvah Yisra Shabbat. You have to actually take the whole thing and you have to burn it. You must burn it according to Shitas HaRamah. And Halacha L'maaseh, the Mishnah Berurah says that you're stuck. Hefsed is meruba. We have a right to rely upon the mechaber against the Ramah. But the Ramah Shita is definitely quoted, and in small amounts we should really follow it. Right? Because we equate chometz with Pesach, we should put it at the same level as the Yayin Nesef. Simen Tov Samach Zayin, I think. You were somewhere, I'm not exactly where it is. You'll see it, you can't miss it. And Rabosai. Open it up for you while I'm there. Okay. The next question becomes, if you have chometz and pesach with mashu, may you keep it in your house on Pesach? We know that on Pesach there exists an issue known as Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. Should we say that the Chazal made the Chumrah and said, this chometz you must even throw out? Or no? Should we say that you can't eat it, but you're allowed to keep it? Can I give you the quotation? I got it right. I'm very proud of myself. Chof Sama Zayin Sif Yud. All right, I got it right. I'll read it to you. Tanagoles Shemavusheles to Mordechai. Shenimtza Baba Pesach Kita Mavukat. For both sides, please. Listen. Muta Lamokul and Yehudi. Shenim Keres Yoser B'yoke B'shulachita Shenimtza B'sofa. You can sell it because you're not getting any profit from that piece of grain. They're going to charge you more money because they found a little piece of wheat in the chicken. The same price. Says the Ramah, Uve Medinos, Elu, Noagim, Listro, Pakol. As I already mentioned to you before, she does have more than Ramah, but it's another Rishon. It's a Machloka. Oh. That's what we mentioned before. I got it right. I'm very happy. Kof Sam of Zion, Sif Yud. Now, Rabosai, in that same Simon, just a little bit later, discussion of, no, it's in the same exact Sif and Sif Yud, the discussion of, even according to the Ramah, which the Brewer already put that, said, B'makom Hesem Ruba, you can be Makel. Hesem Ruba, old, okay. Great, great Hesem, you can be Makel. And then, the question becomes, can you keep it on Pesach? Here even the Mechaber says no. Because the Mechaber says, if Nimtis b'yom Shmini shel Pesach, mutol ha'shol sadach ha'fes. So the Mechaber says that on Akron shel Pesach, the Rabbanon, you can keep it around. But the clear impression of the Mechaber is what? Rabbanon say what? No? It will be the first 7 days of Pesach. What would you have to do? You'd have to get rid of it immediately. Either burn it immediately, or if you want to, you can make it and sell it to the guy immediately. Chicken with a little piece of wheat inside. But to keep it around, you cannot do. That's what the Mechaber says. Even the Mechaber agrees to that. The Mechaber's a big maker over here. Comes to Sharatzion and says, it's the cut $9, it's called the base mayor. The mayor, the Mechiru la'akim yagir lo gamken hefzit godol ba'ol, yoko la'asho tarach ha'pesim. Wow. Maybe we can even keep it around to lift the Pesach if it's the Mechiru hefzit godol ba'ol. So again, we've reviewed so far a number of details in terms of the Easter Chometz for Pesach for Mashal. One is the Easter Hanoh, the Machlokes Harishonim. We pass on the Chumra. For sure, we pass on the Chumra on that. Two, can you sell it off Chutzit Zayi Tishaba? Again, because there is an Easter Hanoh. And the Machlokes the Machab and the Ramah. So of course, we're Machlok like the Ramah, we're Mekel the Malkum Hefzit. Once again, Malkum Hefzit, God of Ma'od, the Blue of Ma'od, we can be Mekel. Three, can you leave it around on Pesach? Here even the Mechaber answers, not only the Rabbi, even the Mechaber answers, except for Shvach Mashal Pesach, but comes through the Sharatzion and says to the Beis Meir, the Mokum has to go to the old, even there it can be made. Now the reason I think it's the same as before, what's the reason it's the same as before? It's a Chumah the Kores. That's not, it's only a Mokum Mishim Kores, so it's a holding on to it, it's not really a serious Shadow of Kores. You may come to eat it. Can't eat it. That's why they're going to make them not have to. Yes. Can't sell it on Pesach. Why can't sell it on Pesach? Right. Can't sell. No. The marketplace is closed. The guy on vacation. Can't.
Oh, the
girl take advantage. Don't pay 10 cents for the dollar. I don't know. If it's 10,000 chickens, will lose $1 million. I mean, whatever. I don't know what happens to the dollar mode is. I don't know what exactly to give it dollars and cents. I don't know how to do it precisely. Okay. Now, what happens? What happens in the following case? Our general discussion, we speak about Taruvas. All of our discussions of Taruvas so far have been generally limited to what we call Lach to Lach. What does Lach to Lach mean? Everything's mixed into a big soup. That's what we're talking about until now. What will happen in a situation where we known as what? Yovesh be Yovesh. Where you have things which are mixed in, but they each retain a separate identity, just so we don't know exactly what's what. You don't know, they look identical, you can't tell which is which. So I want to analyze that case first from the perspective of Mutla Lahashoso or Osu Lahashoso. You see, explain to you. Because, let's take a step back. Gotta take a step back. No. You must always step back. Analog. Yavesh be Yavesh. Listen carefully. Bichlal, what's the Yavesh be Yavesh on Pesach? Does the Chumra of Masha will fly or not? 2 days? According to the now we're back to a different simon with your information if you want to look up the sources. Back to Simon Tov Mem Zayin, says the Mechaber Sifes, Yavish be Yavish, Chad v'Trei Batel. Over the Shari Surin Bezeh, second day in the Mechaber. The first day in the Mechaber, no. Afilu be'elef lo batel. Of course, we know, this may depend on what we discussed earlier. The Yeshna of Assyrians, of course, it's going to be awesome. However, if it's not, then you can debate the issue. And then even the 2 days in the Mechaber Sifes, for the Yavish B'Yavish is bottle on Pesach, din daraisa chadash rebatal. What the chumrah which the Abba Chometz of Pesach applies even to a case of yavish biyavish. That's what the Sif test. The Ramon Sif Dal assumes the chumrah. The Dabba Yavish, we assume, is batal. Excuse me, chumrah. Is not batal. And the Mishnah Berurah there says, in Sifkot Lamed Gimel, not only may you not eat it on Pesach, but it's even also lahashoso. It's even prohibited to hold on to it on Pesach. Why should that be so? Explains, this is again from fundamentals of your day here. Sharatzin explains, look, we only make, he's assuming now, at least for the Mikra Adin, we only make an Isser of the Hashoso if it would be absolutely prohibited to eat it. In this case, he claims, the according to the opinion of the Rosh book, so therefore, lachatchila, you have to get rid of at least one of them, maybe even all of them. And b'shas atchak, he relies on the Rosh, since even the Rosh Bohm is set up in the Rabbana. That's how I understand the Sharat Tzion Lama. If the stakes were so high as to be taking a chance on a Dindor Raisa of the Vault, I mean, over a Dindor Raisa, because I own three pieces, one of them is certainly Chometz. So I'm certainly going to be over in Bali Rav in Daraisa. It's out of the question. Can't take a chance on that. But even the Rosh Bo, who says that you may not eat all three at once, that's only on level of Darabona. Mid Daraisa, presumably, we consider all three to be heter. So therefore, on the worst case scenario is Darabona, according to the Rosh Bo. So the Malcolm Hefsit, again, Malcolm Hefsit, the Sharatin, if you rely upon the rush, instead of the comes transformed.